Chapter 65. I can't deny her when the tears is on her face. Apostrophe, he put his hand into the breast of his shaggy jacket and took out with great care a pretty little purse. And if I could deny her when the tears was on her face, Master Davy, apostrophe, said Ham, tenderly adjusting it on the rough palm of his hand, how could I deny her when she give me this to carry for her, knowing what she brought it for? Such a toy as it is, apostrophe, said Ham, thoughtfully looking on it. With such a little money in it, Emily, my dear, apostrophe, I shook him warmly by the hand, when he had put it away again, for that was more satisfactory to me than saying anything, and we walked up and down, for a minute or two, in silence. The door opened then, and Peggotty appeared, beckoning to Ham to come in. I would have kept away, but she came after me, entreating me to come into. Even then, I would have avoided the room where they all were, but for its being the neat tiled kitchen I have mentioned more than once. The door opening immediately into it, I found myself among them, before I considered whither I was going. The girl, the same I had seen upon the sands, was near the fire. She was sitting on the ground, with her head and one arm lying on the chair. I fancied, from the disposition of her figure, that Emily had but newly risen from the chair, and that the forlorn head might perhaps have been lying on her lap. I saw but little of the girl's face, over which her hair fell loose and scattered, as if she had been disordering it with her own hands, but I saw that she was young, and of a fair complexion. Peggotty had been crying. So had little Emily. Not a word was spoken when we first went in. And the Dutch clock by the dresser seemed, in the silence, to tick twice as loud as usual. Emily spoke first. Martha wants, apostrophe, she said to Ham, to go to London. Apostrophe, why to London? Apostrophe, apostrophe, returned Ham. He stood between them, looking on the prostrate girl with a mixture of compassion for her, and of jealousy of her holding any companionship with her whom he loved so well, which I have always remembered distinctly. They both spoke, as if she were ill, in a soft, suppressed tone that was plainly heard, although it hardly rose above a whisper. Better there than here, apostrophe, said a third voice aloud, Martha's, though she did not move. No one knows me there. Everybody knows me here. Apostrophe, what will she do there? Apostrophe, apostrophe, inquired Ham. She lifted up her head, and looked darkly round at him for a moment, then laid it down again, and curved her right arm about her neck, as a woman in a fever, or in an agony of pain from a shot, might twist herself. She will try to do well, apostrophe, said little Emily. You don't know what she has said to us. Does he do they, aunt? Apostrophe, Peggotty shook her head compassionately. I'll try, apostrophe, said Martha, if you'll help me away. I never can do worse than I have done here. I may do better. Oh, apostrophe, with a dreadful shiver, take me out of these streets, where the whole town knows me from a child. Apostrophe, apostrophe, as Emily held out her hand to Ham, I saw him put in it a little canvas bag. She took it, as if she thought it were her purse, and made a step or two forward, but finding her mistake, came back to where he had retired near me, and showed it to him. It's all yourn, Emily, apostrophe, I could hear him say. I haven't no in all the world that ain't yourn, my dear. It ain't of no delight to me, except for you. Apostrophe, apostrophe, the tears rose freshly in her eyes, but she turned away, and went to Martha. What she gave her, I don't know. I saw her stooping over her, and putting money in her bosom. She whispered something, as she asked, was that enough? More than enough, apostrophe, the other said, and took her hand and kissed it. Then Martha arose, and gathering her shawl about her, covering her face with it, and weeping aloud, went slowly to the door. She stopped a moment before going out, as if she would have uttered something or turned back, but no word passed her lips. Making the same low, dreary, wretched moaning in her shawl, she went away. As the door closed, little Emily looked at us three in a hurried manner, and then hid her face in her hands, and fell to sobbing. Dean, Emily, " said Ham, tapping her gently on the shoulder. "Need, my dear. You need not to cry so, pretty. Ham. " she exclaimed, still weeping pitifully. "I am not so good a girl as I ought to be. I know I have not the thankful heart, sometimes, I ought to have. Yes, yes, you have, I'm sure," said Ham. No. Cried little Emily, sobbing and shaking her head. "I am not as good a girl as I ought to be. Not near. And still she cried, as if her heart would break. "I try your love too much. I know I do." She sobbed. "I'm often cross to you, and changeable with you, when I ought to be far different. You are never so to me. Why am I ever so to you, when I should think of nothing but how to be grateful, and to make you happy?" "You always make me so," said Ham, "my dear. I am happy in the sight of you. I am happy, all day long, in the thoughts of you." That's not enough," she cried. "That is because you are good, not because I am. Oh, my dear, it might have been a better fortune for you, if you had been fond of someone else, of someone steadier and much worthier than me, who was all bound up in you, and never vain and changeable like me." "Poor little tender heart," said Ham, in a low voice. "Martha has overset her, altogether." "Please, Aunt," sobbed Emily, "come here, and let me lay my head upon you. Oh, I am very miserable tonight, Aunt. Oh, I am not as good a girl as I ought to be. I am not, I know." Peggotty had hastened to the chair before the fire. Emily, with her arms around her neck, kneeled by her, looking up most earnestly into her face. "Oh, pray, Aunt, try to help me. Ham, dear, try to help me. Mr. David, for the sake of old times, do please, try to help me. I want to be a better girl than I am. I want to feel 100 times more thankful than I do. I want to feel more what a blessed thing it is to be the wife of a good man, and to lead a peaceful life. Oh me, oh me. Oh my heart, my heart." She dropped her face on my old nurse's breast, and, ceasing this supplication, which in its agony and grief was half a woman's, half a child's, as all her manner was being, in that, more natural, and better suited to her beauty, as I thought, than any other manner could have been, wept silently, while my old nurse hushed her like an infant. She got calmer by degrees, and then we soothed her, now talking encouragingly, and now jesting a little with her, until she began to raise her head, and speak to us. So we got on, until she was able to smile, and then to laugh, and then to sit up, half ashamed, while Peggotty recalled her stray ringlets, dried her eyes, and made her neat again, lest her uncle should wonder, when she got home, why his darling had been crying. I saw her do, that night, what I had never seen her do before. I saw her innocently kiss her chosen husband on the cheek, and creep close to his bluff form, as if it were her best support. When they went away together, in the waning moonlight, and I looked after them, comparing their departure in my mind with Martha's, I saw that she held his arm with both her hands, and still kept close to him. Gutenberg Edition. End of chapter.